This is my new mate, the Daves together. So, Dave, it's really great to have you with us. And I personally have just really valued your friendship. You know, when I started, Dave quickly met up with me, and we just hit it off straight away. And it just feels so encouraging to work with you, for the harvest in Marlow. And we just get on really well. And just, you are a man of peace. You're a man of God. And it's just great to have you here and just honour you. So thank you.
Go for it.
Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone. Thank you on behalf of Helen and our children, Thomas, Lauren and Josh. You have made us feel very welcome this morning. Some of you will know this is our second visit here. We came here 3 days after we moved at the start of the year. This was our first experience ever of church in Marlow, was coming here. So, someone say it's all downhill from there. But you've made us so welcome. And as a town, we feel like we've been welcomed. It's very humbling to arrive with people who are waiting to welcome us, and we're very aware what a privilege that is for us, that most people who join the town don't have, but you've been a big part of that. And it's been a real thrill for me to discover a church like River here, to find a leader like Dave, and people that we feel we can share our hearts with, and be partners with. And one of the things I want to say straight away is that I'm sorry that the Anglican Church here hasn't always, I guess, felt like that. And I want to repent, really, on behalf of us as a church, that we haven't joined hands in the way that we could have done. And I'm really sorry about that. And I'm sorry that some of that will have hurt some of you. So please forgive us. Some of you will know that there's a team of us. So I lead a team that looks after the Anglican churches in Bissum and Little Marlow and Marlow Bottom, as well as a Marlow town as well. And I just make that confession, really, on behalf of all of us. And I want to say, please, as well, please, can we work together for to see the gospel spread here, to see the harvest come in, to see God's kingdom come? Because I'm so excited at what God's doing in our town. Are you? And I don't know if it's possible to have that picture of the mountains up that we had right at the start. But a few years ago, we were on holiday in the Alps. And our children, as ever, were keen to spend lots of time with us. So they would wake up at sort of 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm bored of sleeping. I want some time with you. And we were in this incredible place that looked out over a valley at this range of Alps. And it was pitch black. I got up one morning with the children, pitch black. And I looked out the window and I know there are mountains out there somewhere. And gradually, and as the hours wore by, I started to see the silhouette of the mountains. And I was just waiting and waiting for the morning. And this sounds so stupid, saying this in front of you, but there were moments when I thought, I'm not sure the sun is ever going to rise today. You know, I've been here building bricks for like 2 hours, and the sun still hasn't started. And it became almost like a prayer for the church, you know, that there's been such a long wait. But I felt the Lord saying to me, you know, there will be a moment when the light hits the peak of the highest mountain. And from that moment onwards, there is no doubt that just given the passage of time, the whole valley will be filled with light. And do you know, eventually, the light hit the top of the mountain. I know that's not morning, but it reminded me of it looking there. And, you know, I feel coming to Marlow, I can see the light touching the top of the mountain. I do think God is filling this place with light. He's brought a whole new generation of church leaders to this town. He's done so much for so long in the churches here. And I do feel as if it's a harvest time and that God has sent us to reap what we haven't sown. So thank you for your part in waiting. And can we just pray? Let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. We are faithless, but you are faithful because you cannot disown yourself. And we thank you that it's part of your essence to be faithful and to keep your promises. And we remember all those promises you've made about the fields being white for the harvest. And we pray that you would send us out to reap a harvest here amongst our friends and families and neighbours and those whom you're bringing into the kingdom of your wonderful light. Thank you for the privilege of being part of that. And we look to follow you and yield to you in everything that we do. Please help us in our weakness. Amen. Now, Dave's asked me to speak about risk and about taking risks for God. And you know, it's really very easy to take risks. It's very easy to take risks if you're not afraid. The issue isn't about the risk. The issue is about the fear. And risk is very easy, really. You just feel the fear, and then you go straight on and do it anyway. That's how we take risks, isn't it? Feel the fear and do it anyway. Can we all say that? Feel the fear and do it anyway. Okay, now in a sense I could sit down now. Some of you probably might be wishing I had in a few minutes' time. But facing our fear is a massive battleground, isn't it? For every single one of us. Fear is so powerful. Fear is the enemy of faith. And for many of us, if not all of us, perhaps the biggest enemy to faith. So I want to spend just a few moments thinking about fear, looking at fear in the face, seeing where it comes from, how it affects us, and what God wants us to do with our fears. Where does fear come from? Well, this is Genesis 3. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was not ashamed, not feeling guilty. I was afraid." First mention of fear in the Bible. Where does fear come from? The fall, from sin. We feel afraid because we're vulnerable. We know God knows what we're like, what we've done. We feel exposed. And our response is to hide. That's the basic story of fear in each of our lives. We hide from God because we're afraid. We hide from situations, from people, because we're scared. And that basic story has played out a million times, hasn't it? Through the Bible story, the Israelites, you know, Moses is going up, meeting God, and they say, "Don't let him come and talk to us. We're afraid. You talk to him for us." You know, and they go and they hide away around the campfire, making a golden calf. Think of Jonah. Given a very simple task, what does he do? He runs the other way because he's afraid. Think of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. "We will never leave you." Peter says, "If everyone runs away, I won't. I won't." And yet the moment of testing comes, what does he do? He runs away. And why? Because he's afraid. Fear is so powerful, isn't it? In our lives. And I want to put my hand up as a great coward along with all the rest of you. Fear has a hold on us. On the 23rd of March 1998, I'd been a Christian for just over 2 years. I was driving to Abergavenny in Wales, where my parents lived, and a very unusual thing happened, a very strange thing happened. I was driving into the town and I felt that I had to turn my car off the road to my parents' house and drive another way through the town. And I reached a couple of junctions, the same thing happened, and I thought, you know, I think this is God. I think something extraordinary is happening. And I wound up in this council estate. Oh, thank you. I wound up in this council estate, which I later learned was the problem road of the whole town. And I drove down to the end of the road, and there was this house. And the whole house, I can only say it looked beaten up. You know, the front door had scratch marks and scuff marks all over it. The house was filthy. There was rubbish everywhere in the garden. This house was like the end of the close, and it just looked like the roughest house. And suddenly I saw this this man walking towards me. And I felt God tell me all kinds of stuff. Now, this didn't happen to me. You know, this wasn't a common experience, but I felt him say stuff about how God had sent me from London, where I then lived, to come and talk to him and to say some very specific things about his life and to tell him that God wanted to turn his life around and change it. And I thought, oh, my word. But I also thought, wow, this is the kind of thing I've been praying would happen. This is what I hoped following Jesus would be like. What an adventure. So I wound the window down in my car. And as he walked past, I started the engine, wound the window up, and drove to my parents' house. Now, do you know, I think it took me 5 years to get over that failure. I don't think God wanted it to take me 5 years. I think he would have dealt with it in 5 minutes. But I felt so ashamed. I felt I was responsible for stopping revival coming to that town. I felt as if God had given me everything I'd been asking for, my big chance, and I'd blown it. And it took me years, literally took me years, to regain confidence after that. Because it wasn't just fear that conquered me that day, it was condemnation. You're rubbish, you are. God's actually got that ministry and he's given it to someone else now, someone who's a bit braver. So I really understand that taking risks is hard. But the thing is, there is no fear in God. Did you know that? Did you know that God has never, ever been frightened of anything? He's never been intimidated. He's never felt that shiver of fear. Because God does not have any fear in his being. He feels lots of emotions. He feels joy. He feels pleasure. I love that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That, do you know that means God gets pleased? He feels pleasure. Every act of faith you do makes God feel pleasure. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Anyway, that's another sermon. God feels angry. He feels grief. He feels concern, but he never feels fear. Because fear doesn't belong where God is. There is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out all fear. There's no fear in heaven. That's something to look forward to, isn't it? There's no fear in heaven. There's no fear in the kingdom of God. Everywhere where God's kingdom comes, fear disappears. There is no fear in God's kingdom. If there's a situation in our lives where there is fear, it's because God's kingdom hasn't come there. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, but we are told to fear God. And you're right. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... That's what I thought. It's knowledge. There you go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. So we do need to fear God. I mean, the way I think of it, I'm a sailor. So I tend to think of... resort to the sea. I mean, as a sailor, I love the sea. I love being on the sea. I love being in the sea. I love the waves. I love the wind. I love the scenery. I love everything about the sea. But do I fear the sea? Oh, yes. Because the sea is so powerful that if you go places you're not meant to with the sea, it will just crush you with its power. You have to have a healthy fear of the sea. Why? Because it is so much more powerful than we are. And that's the closest I can get to what I think God means when he says, you know, fear God. What Jesus spoke about fearing God. In Hebrews, it says... If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Wow. You know, we don't want to mess with God, because he's so much more powerful than us. We need to have a fear of God. But that's different from being afraid. Jesus taught. He's speaking about men. He says, be on your guard against men. Usually I'd say, I'm sure he meant women as well. I don't know, he probably did. He says, they will hand you over to their local councils and flog you in their synagogues. And then he goes on to say, this is Matthew 10:26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Can you imagine how dangerous that would have been for them? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He's talking about his father. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I love that. I'm sure that's Jesus' sense of humour. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than a whole bag of sparrows. I just think that's wonderful teaching. You know, he knows how fearful we are. But he says, don't be afraid of them. There's nothing they can do to you, actually. All they can do is kill you. And I deal with that. Be afraid of God and only God. Now, here's the good news. Did you know you are an expert at overcoming fear? You are an expert at overcoming fear. Who can ride a bike? Most of us? Wow, you've overcome fear. Who can read out loud? You've overcome fear. Who can drive a car? Wow, you've overcome fear. Who came to church this morning? You can overcome fear. Who can speak to a stranger? We can overcome fear, can't we? Even the fact you're still alive today shows that you have overcome all kinds of fear. What's this I'm putting in my mouth? We all felt that. We can't remember it, but when we were 6 months old. There are all kinds of fears we face. And you are an expert at overcoming fear. That's the good news. The bad news is you haven't yet overcome all your fears. There are some fears in each of our lives that are very deeply rooted and that control us. And I want to read something from a book, which is it's not a very well-known book. It's called The Undefended Life. The subtitle is Rediscovering God's Freedom to Live Beyond Fear. Does that sound good? I love the fact that he says it's God's freedom to live beyond fear. He's talking about going through fear, not just kind of evading it somehow. And it's a fantastic book. It's written by a guy called Simon Walker. And I just want to read, it's quite a long passage, but this describes the way fear works in our lives. And I'm reading all this because I think fear is very good at hiding itself. And I think one of the hardest things in conquering our fears so we can take risks is identifying what our fears really are. He writes this. The way fear manifests itself is like a pervasive leaching through soil, a condition that is somehow always with us but mostly unrecognized. For some people, fear is present as a pervasive, low-level anxiety, an uncertainty about life. It's the emotion which lies underneath the slight dread of the day ahead, the sinking feeling at going back to work, the gloom that settles over one facing the prospects of the future, the dark conjurer that casts the veil over our reality, rendering us unable to appreciate the sunlight beyond. Or for others, Fear is a hard master, controlling our thoughts or demanding hours of our life attending to his needs. The gnawing worry about our finances that creeps into every corner of our lives. Or the apparently endless turning over of our concerns and prospects. It's the slightly obsessive planning, rehearsing and improving, making sure that everything is as well thought through as possible, that nothing can go wrong or trip us up. For others still, fear is a hidden thief, a returning burglar who breaks into one's storehouse of joy and slyly removes our treasures. The anxiety of our loved ones getting ill, our business failing, losing our job, a relationship breaking, an unexpected tragedy. Despite our best efforts to build a happy and secure life, no lock or bolt seems strong enough to keep out the heartless intruder who will slip back inside and plunder our carefully amassed goods. For others, fear is an unpassable giant, bestriding the road to new choices, blocking the path ahead. Applying for a new job becomes unthinkable. Moving house becomes too daunting. Proposing to your fiancé becomes an impossible risk. Confronting an aggressive boss, terrifying. Fear traps us in a limited world with no entry signs down many of the paths that might once have been open. So he paints four pictures of how fear confronts us, a dark conjurer that puts a veil over reality, a hard taskmaster demanding attention, a thief robbing us of our treasure, and a vast giant blocking the pathway. I wonder if you can relate to any of those things in your life that point to how fear is affecting you. Because what I'd love us to do this morning is to think, where is fear stopping me? Where's fear stopping me taking risks? And maybe, where is fear stopping us, River Church, taking the risks that God has for us to go to the place he wants us to be? Who are you afraid of? Because let me tell you, that person owns you. They own you. They run your life. And if you're going to take risks for God, you need to take ownership back of that person who is making you afraid. You need to name them. Name that situation. Maybe, sometimes with me, it's an imaginary person. It's this disapproving gentleman who's very proper and doesn't like the way the rector of Marlow is going about his job. I could tell you, I don't know if any of you were on the causeway last Sunday. It was the remembrance thing. There were 2,500 people standing there, and I was in my dress, as my children describe it, waiting in front of all these dignitaries to lead a service. I've never spoken in front of that many people. And I had to speak English and French. I'm telling you, I was facing fear. Now, fortunately, in a situation like that, I don't have the option really to turn around and run away. I have to feel the fear and do it anyway. You know, I'm not standing here as someone who's conquered all my fears, but I am standing here to encourage us. We can feel a fear and do it anyway. Can't we? Failure, for many of us, will be one of our biggest fears. And yet, in the Bible, I mean, let me summarize one of the main teachings of the Bible in one sentence. Failure is the new success. Isn't that true? I mean, you name me someone who did great things in the Bible, I will show you a failure. Joseph, Moses, Jonah, we've mentioned, Peter, Saul, Paul, Jesus himself. You know, what do you think people thought as they saw him hanging on the cross? Oh, this is what it was all about. You've really shown them now. Of course they didn't. They said, what a failure. It's all come to nothing. So you see, fear is a great opportunity. Failure is a great opportunity to follow in our Master's footsteps and just keep going. We watched a film the other day, and one phrase kept cropping up. I'm not sure if I remember it exactly, but it was basically, everything will turn out well, and if it hasn't done, that just goes to show it's not the end yet. Has anyone seen that film? I probably didn't remember it very well. But yeah, that's a very Christian sentiment, isn't it? We know the end. Everything's going to be fine. If it's not fine at the moment, just shows God hasn't finished. Okay, however in bondage we are to fear, everything's going to turn out fine. And if it hasn't done, it just shows that God hasn't finished with us yet. What I would love us to do is to be real about all of this. To be real with God, to be real with one another. If you like, I don't know how well you know the person you're sitting next to. But here's a psalm, Psalm 56, which I think is such a wonderful prayer. I love the psalms. They're so real. Here's Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Oh, that's a prayer. That is a prayer for fear, isn't it? So I want to pray that for you and for me. I want us to pray it for one another. I want to pray it especially for you as a church. I can do that as a visitor. You know, I want to say to you, rise up, River Church. Rise up out of your fear. Rise up from where you've been resting. Rise up and take hold of what God has got for you. You know, I see you like a tiger that's been kind of in the river and is getting up and is getting on the move and is starting to move in power, in grace, with purpose. See, God has work for you to do that no one else can do. You're going to need a lot of courage to do it. You're going to need to face your fears, look them in the eye, and walk straight through them. But do you know what? You cannot fail. You cannot fail. However many mistakes you make, you cannot fail if you trust God. And so I want to pray for you that that God will free you from being paralyzed by fear. Now, I know this is different degrees in everyone's life, but I can say if you're breathing this morning, you have some fear at work in your life that God wants to deal with. So I'd like us to pray now. Maybe I could ask everyone to stand. I just want to speak out some specific things that I feel God wants us to pray about this morning. The fear of failure, I've already mentioned. And maybe there are some people here who've never really failed. Maybe there are others who have failed and it hurt. And you're scared of failing again. I think God wants to take away that fear of failure. I think there are people who've been abused in some way in childhood. And that has left its mark on you. And you've been living with the fear that is rooted in that. I feel there's someone who is afraid of dogs. That might be a harmless fear in some ways, but it's not in others. It is still a fear, and I think that's something specific that God wants to free you from this evening. I want us to pray for young mums. You know, it's so hard. It's so hard, isn't it, when you have young children. There are so many demands and so few resources. And I'd love us to pray for mums with young children this morning that God would drive fear out and replace it with his love. Just one other thing. I felt God saying as well is that the teenagers in this church have got something to teach us about living with fear, because they're facing fears all the time and they have so much courage. They're more courageous than we are most of the time. And I just feel there's something there. I know they're not here. Is Dan here? He's out as well. No, he's here. Dan, maybe you could come up to the front and we pray for you if you'd be happy to. Because I feel that the teenagers in this church have a really significant role to play in teaching the rest of us how to deal with fear. So let's pray. Some of you might be feeling afraid right now. Oh my word, what are we going to do? I'd like to say a prayer for you as a church, and then I would love you to pray for one another, those of you who are comfortable to do that. If any of the things I've mentioned are things that you feel you really want to put your hand up to, whether the things I've just read out or things that have been said in the talk, feel free to come up to the front here and we'll pray for you. Maybe, I don't know, could we ask the band to play? Would you be happy, thank you, to come up and pray, unless you want to be prayed for, or just want to give an opt-out for the band. So let me pray. And if you're not sure what to pray and you've got a Bible with you, open it at Psalm 56 and pray that. Father God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you, it's your church, that these are your people, your flock. I thank you for the future that you have in store for this church, for the harvest that is waiting. And Father, I want to come against now in Jesus' name every fear present in this church and in this room. I thank you that you are not afraid. I thank you for this group of my brothers and sisters, that your desire is to cast out all fear by your perfect love. And so I invite you to pour out your Spirit now into our hearts. Pour out your Spirit. Fill us with your love. You know, the demons are scared of you. Evil will run away from a fearless church. And Father, I pray that your Spirit of love, of power, would come upon the River Church, that every person here would be able to feel their fears and walk through them. In Jesus' name. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. So let's pray for one another now. Pray through those fears, confess them to God, and just receive his love.